Here's an opportunity for you to get up to 75% off many of the resources you hear us promote on Issues Etc. It's Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale from 8 in the morning till noon on Saturday, November 3rd. Concordia Publishing House is located south of Interstate 44 at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. The 2012 warehouse sale, Saturday morning, November the 3rd at Concordia Publishing House, 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis.
The Food and Drug Administration announced Tuesday that the morning after pill would now be made available over the counter to women as young as 15. Today, the pill, under the brand name Plan B1 Step, is available behind pharmacy counters nationwide to women 17 and older without a prescription. But the FDA's latest decision means the emergency contraceptive will now sit alongside condoms and women's health products on drugstore shelves. Buyers will have to verify their age at the cash register with a government-issued ID. Doctors' groups say the high-dose contraceptive could cut the number of unintended pregnancies in half. The pill, if taken within 72 hours of unprotected sex, can reduce the risk of pregnancy by up to 89%. Ross Simpson, The Associated Press.
Well, there's the story, the FDA approval of emergency contraception for girls 15 and older. Joining us for a reaction, Anna Higgins. She's director for the Center of Human Dignity at the Family Research Council based in Washington, D.C. Anna, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you for having me, Todd.
It's only about a minute here before our break. One of our listeners, she has a 15-year-old daughter. Is there anything stopping that girl from walking in and buying emergency contraception at all, no questions asked?
Absolutely not. She needs only to present a government-issued ID to the cashier, and she's able to purchase that, no question.
So the parents are not involved in this in any way whatsoever?
No, and that's one of the most alarming things about this decision. It shows a lack of concern for the fundamental rights of parents and the safety of young girls.
So you use the term girls. I've heard the news using the term women.
Right.
Under the age of 15, which one's the more accurate term?
I think it's obviously girls. We can't even see a rated R movie without parental permission until kids are 17. So we've got this issue of them saying women. I think that's to take us off track of the truth that these are kids under parental guidance and should be under parental guidance, especially in important health decisions like this.
Anna Higgins is our guest. When we come back, we'll have about another 10 minutes with her. It's Wednesday afternoon, May the 1st. We're talking about FDA approval of emergency contraception for girls 15 and older. Anna is director of the Center for Human Dignity at the Family Research Council based in Washington, D.C. When we come back, this seems to be a trend. It seems to be not only an effort to get emergency contraception on the shelves for women, but now for girls. What is there stopping the FDA from saying, no, not 15, that's too old. How about 13? How about 12? We'll get a response after this.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+. Simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes. Dedicated customer service and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Islam, worship, feminism, pietism, postmodernism. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14 and 15 in Collinsville, Illinois, issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Anna Higgins is our guest from the Family Research Council. We're talking about FDA approval of emergency contraception for girls 15 and older. Anna, just a few facts to kind of, in case people are saying, well, I don't even know what we're talking about here. Plan B, one step was the term used, kind of the over-the-counter title for this thing. What is this drug? What does it do?
Well, it's labeled as an emergency contraceptive. It's 1.5 milligrams of basically the hormone progesterone. And it's meant to be taken after sexual intercourse, and it's supposed to prevent ovulation and pregnancy. So it's labeled as an emergency contraceptive, and it's been available over-the-counter for people 17 years and older until this decision.
Has the FDA, are they working from trials with girls this young? Do they have research that says this is safe?
That is a great point. Absolutely not. There has been no studies showing the effect of this high dose of hormone during puberty. So the effects on young girls are unknown. And any safety studies that have been done assuming proper use, which means this is supposed to be taken only once per cycle, so once per month. There's no indication that young girls know how to use this properly and won't be using it as a first-line contraceptive. So not only do we not know that this hormone is safe for their young bodies, we don't know what kind of effects using this over and over every month would have on young girls.
I heard the argument this morning made by a supporter of the FDA's decision that this is necessary because doctors go on vacation, they take a holiday. During the weekends, doctors are unavailable, and a girl of 15 can't get a hold of her doctor. She needs to be able to pick this up right off the shelf. What's your response?
That's a poor excuse for justifying this decision. There's always, if it is an emergency, there's always an emergency room or hospital available. They're not going to turn anyone away. Clinics are often open 24 hours, and I think that's a poor excuse for allowing this kind of decision that could have such harmful effects on girls and such a detrimental effect on the rights of parents.
What do you anticipate would be the consequences for a pharmacist who refuses to sell this drug to minors?
You know, we've seen pharmacists get in trouble for not wanting to sell birth control because it violates their conscience. And in this instance, we can expect more of the same. You know, pharmacists who don't want to sell this will definitely be most likely be prosecuted for that or, you know, run out of business in some manner. We can expect that to happen. And here, you know, it's available. It's going to be available on the shelves. So pharmacy doesn't even have to be open for this to be sold in the store. All a girl has to do is go to the cashier and show some kind of ID and be able to purchase this.
What's behind this in your thinking? The fact that the FDA continues to move the age earlier and earlier. The fact that it has apparently there's so much pressure to deliver this kind of drug to girls.
There is a lot of pressure, and they keep saying it's in the name of access. Like you mentioned, what if this is an emergency, you can't find your doctor, we need to have this accessible for all women. Well, first of all, they keep using the term women. We're talking about young girls here who need guidance from parents and from doctors. And it is a political agenda, absolutely. It's the idea that all types of contraception, no matter how they work mechanistically or how they affect women, should be available, no questions asked. And they're just extending this younger and younger to try to, you know, it's cutting parents out of the equation. It's pushing the agenda of sex without consequences, and it implicitly approves of risky sexual behavior, which we know will increase among teens with the availability of this drug without a prescription.
Now, I heard a representative of some organization of OBGYN saying, oh, no, this, we anticipate this will, well, the term he used was actually drastically reduce the number of teen pregnancies. But that's not the same thing as reducing teen sexual activity, is it?
That's right. But actually, that can, that that statement is completely unfounded. Every study I've read, and there are numerous studies that show that there have been, when Plan B has been available to adults or to teens, there's been absolutely no decreased incidence of unintended pregnancy, every single study. So that, I don't know where they're getting that information or why they're predicting that this will be different, because in the UK, in fact, it was shown that teens who have this over-the-counter availability have a spike in STD, in instances of STDs among these teens. So we're encouraging, like you said, risky sexual behavior, which is going to result in sexually transmitted disease, and that's going to go untreated because these girls are able to bypass medical screenings that they would go to if they need a prescription. So we're just going to cause a lot more problems than solutions with this decision.
The message that I seem to hear loud and clear through this, although I've never heard anyone explicitly say it, and but you have picked up on it there a little bit earlier, is parents, you have absolutely no business when it comes to your daughter's sex life. You have absolutely no business knowing about it, doing anything about it. You have no input. We're going to make sure that we do an end run around you as powerfully as we possibly can.
Yeah, that's the message here. That's the agenda that we're trying to, that they're trying to push. And, you know, over and over, the Supreme Court has emphasized that parents have the fundamental right in the upbringing and education of their children. This is something that is a historical, important right that parents have, and we need to stand up for that right. Because not only, you know, you can't go to school and be administered an aspirin without a parent's permission, yet this drug, which, of which we know nothing about its side effects on young girls, can be administered by girls to themselves without any kind of parental input. And it's associated, like I said, with risky sexual behavior. Additionally, girls who are most at risk to be sexually abused are going to be able to obtain this without any kind of doctor supervision, so, or parental supervision. So any instance of sexual abuse will also go undetected.
So what's the answer here? Is it to take a closer look at who's making these decisions at the Food and Drug Administration?
Yeah, and I think Kathleen Sebelius, who's the Secretary of the Health and Human Services, made a good decision in 2011 when she said, no, we shouldn't allow this over-the-counter for teens and young girls, and the president applauded her decision. That's common sense to protect girls. And here you have Judge Corman's decision that, if it's not appealed, will go into effect this Sunday, I believe, which is going to allow this contraceptive to be sold to girls at any age. So this is a big issue, and we're asking that the secretary appeal. We're asking the president to appeal, and if they don't, we, you know, we can see what kind of recourse we can take from there. But we encourage parents to stay very vigilant on this issue.
Do we have any idea where the manufacturer, the drug companies, are on with this? I would think that if the manufacturer said, "Look, we did not make this drug to be administered to minor children. We didn't even test it on minor children, and we don't want, even if they only said, we don't want the legal liability, FDA, please do not make this available to minor children, we haven't even tested it." If they did that, the FDA would probably listen to them.
That's possible, but in this case, it's Teva, T-E-V-A, is the drug manufacturer. They're the ones that applied for this. To be available to teens. So they obviously don't have any concerns, or they're not voicing any concerns because, you know, this is a big money maker, and they claim that because it's safe for adults, then it's automatically going to be safe for children. So, you know, they're the ones that are pushing this, the drug companies, and they have a lot to gain and nothing to lose. So, and in fact, in this decision by Judge Corman, they weren't even added as a party, which they need to be added as a party here and have to be able to present such studies that show that this is safe, which they haven't done.
Can anything happen to intervene on the judge's decision between now and when this is supposed to go into effect?
Yes, the Secretary of Health and Human Services could appeal. And we have, the Family Research Council has authored a letter signed by 57 other organizations asking her to appeal. Congressman Mark Meadows authored a letter to the president with at least 51 other signatures of congressmen asking him to appeal. We've heard no response yet from them.
What do you expect?
Well, that's a good question. We really don't know what to expect at this point. Their first decision was a really good common sense decision. So we're hoping that they come back and stand for what they proposed in the first place. But, you know, you've got this decision by Judge Corman in which he castigates the secretary for being political, which, in fact, she really wasn't being political in that decision. She was putting the safety of young girls first. So it really could go either way. We haven't heard anything yet. So, you know, we're hopeful, but, you know, it's getting closer to the deadline, so we just don't know.
Anna Higgins is director of the Center for Human Dignity at the Family Research Council based in Washington, D.C. You'll find a link to the Family Research Council under the Listen on Demand page at our website, issuesetc.org. Anna, thank you very much for being our guest.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Heath Curtis, about a half hour with him, which may in itself not even be adequate to deal with the subject. Fourth century Bishop of Alexandria Athanasius is remembered by the church tomorrow on May 2nd. And there's a figure, he's a figure who sometimes kind of traipses around in the mists of ancient history. And we are talking about very ancient church history. But he is a powerful figure. His thought, his theology, his influence lasts far, far beyond his lifetime. We'll talk about this 4th century Bishop of Alexandria, Athanasius. Pastor Heath Curtis will be our guest right after this.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. Mark Lutheran, Edmond, Oklahoma. Emmanuel Lutheran, Manchester, New Hampshire. University Lutheran Chapel, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Freedom, Pennsylvania. Holy Cross Lutheran, O'Fallon, Missouri. St. Paul Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. Christ Lutheran, Rochester, Minnesota. Holy Cross Lutheran, Carlisle, Iowa. St. Peter's Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. And Grace Lutheran, Wellsville, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. IssuesETC.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.